guys tonight. You all right, sister? Hey, teens, I just want to say thank you for letting me come and be with you guys this week. It's been a life-changing week for me, and getting closer to Jesus and God, and also to be able to take a very small part in your life just this week. And thank you for letting me come, and you are like family, and I'll take that list back home. I have it on my email, and I also printed it out, and I'll pray for you guys once a week that God will help you and to live for Jesus, and pray for us. You don't know my wife and my babies, but I do have four kids at home and happily married, but this week you guys have been my family, and I really appreciate that. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being real. Thank you for being honest, and I appreciate you guys. Thank you to Pastor and Mrs. Gross, and also Brother Ali and Mrs. Ali, and also Ms. D with the piano. Lay did a great job singing. All the counselors, thank you for your work and labor. I appreciate you guys, your testimony. And also Brother Pete and Ms. Leah and Sister Auntie Gomes in the back, and everybody who worked and to make this possible. I appreciate it. Would you do me a favor tonight? Take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Mark's in the back grabbing some Bibles. If you need a Bible, I want everybody to have a Bible tonight. So if you need one, just go back there and get one, okay? Or that's all right. Go ahead and get one. I want you to see it tonight, okay? 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, please. You got it, Siobhan? So go past the book of Judges. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. If you need help, help each other out, okay? Tony, you got a Bible? You got a Bible, Tony? Grab one. Get one. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Is there any more Bibles back there, Tony, or no more? There's no more? All right. Let's get some of the drink. We're waiting for you. Come on. You don't have one, that's fine. Come over here and share, okay? 1 Samuel chapter number 3. We're going to be there for the whole message tonight, so I want you to open up and follow along with me, okay? 1 Samuel chapter number 3. All right, let's read verses 1 through 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and verses 1 through 3 tonight, okay? The Bible says in verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." Verse number 3 is where we'll get the title of the message tonight. Verse number 3, let's read it together. Ready, begin. "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." I want you to underline the four words, "the lamp of God." Go ahead and underline that right there in your Bible if you're in the habit of doing it. Or if you're taking notes. The lamp of God. All right, and just for a few moments tonight, I'd like to preach on this subject, and I want you to pay attention as I preach, okay? Undivided attention. You've done a good job all week. I want to preach on this subject just for a little bit, okay? Here's the title of the message. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, okay? Let's ask God to help us tonight. Let's pray. Focus, all right? Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege you give us, Lord, to hear the word of God tonight. Thank you, God, for these teenagers. Thank you for their love for you. Lord, it does my heart well to hear them sing, "You are my all in all." Lord, may those words come to be a realization in every one of their lives. May you truly become all in all to all of us. Thank you, Jesus, for being good to us this week. Now we've come, Lord, to the culmination of it. We ask that you would please speak to our hearts tonight a new and a fresh way. I trust you, Father, to do your work tonight. Please use me and help me. I know I'm nothing without you. Thank you for these teenagers. I ask that you would help them to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a big problem in the town. The problem is that the lamp of God is out in the temple of the Lord. The Bible says that in these days in Jerusalem, there is no open vision. And what that means is that God is no longer speaking to man. There's no open vision. Back in those days, prophets would get visions. They would get a vision from God, and God would speak to them, and they would speak to the people. They say, you got the gift of prophecy. There'd be a prophet that would listen to God, and God would talk to him, and he would talk to the people. During this time, there is no open vision. God has stopped talking. The Bible says that the word of the Lord is precious in those days. Now, that word precious is not what we think it means. Oh, that's precious. No, that's not what it means. What it means is that it is scarce. What it means is that there is no word of God being preached in that town. What it means is there's the very little of the word of God in this town. And the Bible says that the lamp of God went out in the temple. Now think about this. This would be like not having open vision in church. This would be like us going to church and have no preaching. What's the point of going to church if there's no preaching? We don't go to church just to sing songs. We don't go to church just to have fellowship. We don't go to church just to talk to each other and all that. We go to church because the man of God has a message from God to us on how we ought to live our lives. So right here, the Bible says that the lamp of God is out in the temple, and the Bible says where the Ark of the Covenant is. Now look, I'm going to teach you this. When you see the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible, the Ark of the Covenant means the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant means the presence of God. And the Bible says there's no open vision. That means God stopped talking. The Bible says that the lamp of God went out in the temple. That means there is no more word of God in the church house, okay? Now, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's why it's very important that each and every one of you develop a relationship with your Bible. And I like what Pastor Ali said this week, Pastor Gross. What they're telling you is if you need a Bible, let them know, they will purchase one for you. One of the best days of my life was when somebody purchased a copy of God's word for me. You know what I did? I started to read it, and the parts that I liked the most, I got a notebook, and I started just to write down different scripture verses. And then I said, man, I'm going to memorize these verses and see how well I do. Well, I haven't done that well throughout the years, but I tried to memorize the word of God. You know why? Because the psalmist said this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So this is the reason why the word of God, Mark, is so important, because the word of God can transform your life. The Bible says that it can renew the thinking of your mind. The Bible says it can take sin out of your heart. The Bible says it can cause you to be a new person. The Bible is very powerful. Now listen, the Bible says here that the lamp of God is out in the temple of God. That's a place where it should have been. That's a place where people should have come to see God. But you know what's going on during this time? The Bible says there's a high priest. His name is Eli. Eli is an old man. Eli is a man that doesn't want to deal with his two sons. The name of his two sons is Hophni and Phinehas. These guys are wicked in town. These guys are taking advantage of the sacrifices. They're pocketing the money. They're benefiting from the Lord's sacrifice. They're not doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says that Eli didn't restrain his sons. God wanted to deal with Eli, and he did. And so everybody in town knows that the pastor down over there, he lets his son steal from the offering plate. Everybody in town knows that the pastor over there, he lets his son do different immoral acts with his sons with the women in the choir. This is what's going on right here. You'll read it in the Bible that these two guys are lost. They don't know God. And so everybody in town is talking about this. And as a result, the lamp of God is out in the temple of the Lord. I want you to see, number one, take this note, okay? Number one, the calling of God. The calling of God. First of all, I want you to see, number one, the calling of God. The calling of God. First of all, underneath there, I want you to see that it's a repetitive call. It's a repetitive call. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3, okay? The Bible says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Now look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. "That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." Now, look at what the Bible says in verse number 5. "And he ran unto who?" Verse 5. "And he ran unto who?" He didn't run unto God. But this was God talking to him, Thomas. God was talking to him. But he ran to Eli. Now, the Bible says that Eli said, he said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. Verse number 6. "And the Lord called yet again, Samuel, Samuel." He arose and went to Eli. "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Go lie down." Look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. Let's read verse number 8 together. Ready? Begin. "And the Lord called Samuel again, third time. And he arose and he went to who? And he said unto him, Here am I, for thou didst call me." And then this time Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Look at verse number 9. "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went down and lay down in his place." So we see here, it's nighttime. Samuel, the little boy right there in the temple, he's laying down, he's asleep, and God calls him, "Samuel, Samuel." He gets up, and he runs to Eli. He says, "Eli, did you call me? Here am I." He says, "I didn't call you. Go lay down." Scratches his head. He's thinking, "Man, somebody's calling me." As soon as he lay down, starts counting sheep. "Samuel, Samuel." He gets up. He runs to Eli. He says, "Yes, sir. Here am I." And Eli says, "Nah, man, I didn't call you. Stop waking me up. Go back to sleep." Samuel scratches his head. Like, man, again? He's laying down.
"Samuel, Samuel."
He gets him. He's like, "Man, dude, I know that Eli's calling me." So he comes back in. He opens the door. "Eli, here am I." This time Eli said, "Oh, it's God that's calling Samuel." He says, "Sam, if God calls you again, you answer, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee." Samuel goes back down, lays down. He's laying down, and he hears the voice for the fourth time. Four different times, God was calling him. Four different times, God took the time to try to get a hold of him. Four different times, God tried different ways to get a hold of this child. And when God called again, "Samuel, Samuel," Samuel went before the Lord and said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee." Isn't it a beautiful thing that God can speak to us? Sometimes God speaks very quietly. Sometimes you got to be still to hear God speak. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Pants don't fit like they used to. God wants to speak to you. It's a repetitive call. Can I say number two underneath here? Write this down. It's a revealing call. It's a revealing call. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7. You guys help me preach this. Here it is, verse number 7. God called him four different times. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7. Verse number 7. Keep your Bible open there in 1 Samuel 3. Verse 7. Let's read it on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Read it. Isn't this beautiful? Everybody's like, no, no, no. You know, the Bible says Samuel didn't know the Lord yet. That's the reason Samuel went to who? Because he didn't know God yet. He ran to Eli and says, Eli, you calling me? He didn't recognize God's voice. He was confused. He thought that Eli was calling him, but in reality, God was calling him. Now look at me here. Look at me, and I don't want you to miss this. Isn't it interesting that before God can really get a hold of our attention, before God can really speak to our hearts, we have to be submissive and respectful to our spiritual leaders? Isn't it interesting right here in the Bible that as soon as Samuel heard the call of God, that he thought, oh, that's my spiritual leader. That's Eli. He ran to Eli and said, Eli, here I am, sir. Tell me, what do you want me to do? You see, there's a special lesson there for all of us. God will not call a teenager into his service. God would not call a teenager to serve him. God won't call a young person or a young adult, for that matter, if they're not first submissive to their spiritual authority. Look at me. Look at me. I preached last night on how much the people at the Kauai Baptist Church, whether it's your Sunday school teacher, a mom or dad, pastor, youth pastor, somebody that loves you, that are praying for you. I preached my heart out last night telling you, man, they pray for you. They love you. You're the apple of their eye. They got you on a prayer list. They're praying for you. And I just want to say this. You are at the height of ingratitude if you don't say, I'm going to submit myself to my spiritual authority. I'm going to submit to them and say, listen, you tell me if this is a good decision. You tell me if this is a good friend. You tell me, what do you believe that God wants me to do? Too many young people get into trouble. You know why? Because they do what they want to do, say what they want to say, go where they want to go, plan their whole lives out, and they never submit to the spiritual authority that God has set up over their lives. I like what he said last night. The church is a gift from God to you. You say, man, life has been tough, and I really don't have a lot of people that I can call family. Well, right here at this church, God has given you a pastor, a youth pastor, a Sunday school teacher, somebody who loves you, somebody that's your spiritual authority. And when you got a question, when you got a doubt, when you got a fear, when you need direction, you need to go directly to the man or woman of God and say, would you pray with me about this? Talk to me about this. It's interesting that before he went to God, he went to Eli. Now write this down. It's a revealing call, but number three, right here underneath point number one, write this down. It's a received call. It's a received call. Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, what did he say? Speak, for thy servant doeth what? Heareth. You see that? It's a received call. Now look at me, look at me. The call of God in Samuel's life would have been nothing unless Samuel decided to answer it. Philip, the call of God would have been nothing in his life unless Samuel decided to answer. The truth is, this week, God has been calling some of you. You say, what are you talking about? Yeah. God has been calling you. For some of you, God has called you for salvation. Now, there's a lot of you, I think seven, that have answered the call of God. Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that if I died, I will go directly to hell. Lord, please save me and take me to heaven. Those of you have answered that call. Then there's some of you that God has called you and says, listen, I want you to serve me with the rest of your life. There's some of you that God's tugging on your heart and you're thinking, man, Is this true? Like, God, you're really speaking to me this way? You want me to serve you for the rest of your life? Now, listen, 24 years ago, I sat behind all the way in the back at a youth camp. There's like 150 kids there. I don't know how many kids were there. Sat all the way in the back. I'm telling you, I was one of those quiet kids. I like to talk to people. I was just kind of, I had my friends, but I didn't like to socialize. I sat in the back, and the preacher was preaching. Man, the preacher was preaching and preaching and preaching. And you know what I felt back here? I felt like God was telling me, I want you to serve me with your life. I felt like God was telling me, I want you to do something for me. He said, did you know that you're going to preach? I had no idea. I just knew that God wanted me to serve him. I knew that God was saying, listen, I want you to serve me. And I sat back there as a 12-year-old boy thinking, man, this is crazy. Why would God signal me out? Why would God tell me that he wants me to serve him? Why can't God use somebody else? And God made it very clear that night, Sammy, I want you to serve me. Now, I don't know if God has talked to you about this week. I don't know if God has told you in your heart, listen, I want you to serve me. I don't know if God has says, hey, I want you to serve me with your life. But in every one of your spiritual leaders' lives, there's been a time and a place where the Spirit of God has prompted them and said, listen, I want you to serve me with your life. I want you to be enlisted into the army of God. It's very interesting how young people get old enough, they get 18, and they say, I want to join the army, or I want to join the Marines, or I want to join the Air Force, I want to join such and such, okay, the Navy. And they get enlisted, and they go into training, and they go into rigorous work. They leave their homes. Listen, they leave their homes, they leave their friends. Why? Because they're serious about serving God. Can I tell you this? If somebody is being called into the ministry tonight, if God has told you, I want you to serve me for the rest of your life, then it's going to be a time when you will train. It's going to be a time when you'll leave friends behind. It's going to be a time where it's just going to be you and God, but God will begin to mold you. God will begin to shape you. God will begin to transform you into another person, and God will give you the tools necessary to serve him for the rest of your life. Hey, how about the calling of God in your life? Has there been a time where God has called you for salvation? Has there been a time where God has called you to surrender? Has there been a time where God has called you to submit? Has there been a time where God has called you to sacrifice? Has there been a time where God has called you to separate from the things of this world? You see, the majority of you, I think, have a problem with different things, and I don't know what they are, but I know for me, when I was a teenager, I had a major problem with the wrong music. And I remember the day when God said, Sammy, I want you to get rid of your wrong music. Music that rapped about the world. Music that talked about sex. Music that talked about drugs. Music that talked about alcohol. Music that talked about being somebody. Music that talked about making money. Music that was straight ghetto from the streets. I'm from the east side of Long Beach. You guys don't know where that's at, but I can imagine there's some part of the island that's straight ghetto. Now look at me. What about God telling you to get rid of your wrong music? How about God telling you to get rid of a wrong friend? Look at me. Up here, it's all good. There's protection. I think what Pastor Milgram was saying today, we're protected up here. But how about when you go to school in coming months or whatever, you go to school? How about when you meet up with your friends? Are you the same person that you are as you're around them, as you are at church? Look at me. Are you the same person around your friends that don't know Jesus as you are in this camp? Because see, it's a waste of time if we come up here and we go through all the singing. Look at me. We go through all the emotional stuff. We go through all the decisions. But when you get around people in the world, you act the same as them. It's just a waste of time. See, does that happen? Absolutely. Say, well, how am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to do? You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to let your light shine. I want you to write down number two. Write this down. Number two, and this is my last point. You see, God called Samuel because he wanted something for him to do. And I want you to write this down. Number two, I want you to write down the confirmation of God. The confirmation of God. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. verse number 19. I like all the men to read verse number 19, okay, tonight. All the men, then we'll have the ladies read verse 20, okay? All right, guys, verse number 19, let's read it together. Verse number 19, let's read it together. Ready, begin. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Now, verse number 20, girls, ready? Verse number 20, ready, begin. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now, listen, listen. God called Samuel. Samuel answers the call, and God gives something for Samuel to do. You say, what is that? Well, at the beginning, I told you that the lamp of God went out. At the beginning, I told you that there was no open vision. At the beginning, I told you that the word of the Lord was precious. That means it was small in those days. Now God trusts not a grown man. God trusts not a prophet. God trusts not a king. You know who God trusts during this time? Look at me. God trusted a child. You know the influence that you can have, look at me, in your family if you decide to really live for the Lord Jesus? Do you understand the influence that you can have in your home? You can turn the waves of your home upside down if you really get on fire for God. God can use you to start a revival in your home. God can use you to start a revival in your church. What happened to so-and-so? Man, that teenager's on fire for God. They love God. They love his word. They love to tell people about Jesus. They got a smile on their face. They don't have a bad attitude. They don't have a rebellious spirit. They're a young person that wants to do right. They're a young person that answered the call. They're a young person who said, I will stand against the wickedness of our day. They're a young person that's not trying to go with the flow. They're trying to go against the grain. Hey, look at me. We need young people that stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many people in the world that they sing the songs of the world. The clubs are full of young people that are chanting different names out in the world. The world's full of young people who are partying, who are in illicit sex, who are having drugs, who are having alcohol. And you know what? They're not ashamed to admit it. They boast about it. They put it on Facebook. They let everybody know the things that they're doing. And then I find that there's Christian teenagers who say the name of Jesus, who say they know God, who say they go to church, who say they read the Bible, who say that they pray, who say that they love God, who say that they know him, but then I find them out in the world. They look the same, they dress the same, they act the same, they talk the same, and my goodness, you know what happens in this world? Utter darkness. You know why? Because the lamp of God has gone out. I want you to do something here. Would you pull that plug over there, Pastor Gross? And then, Brother Anwar, would you pull this? I don't ever want you to forget this. Don't freak out. You're all right. By the way, when all the lights go out, there it is. All right. Everybody okay? I want you on the count of three. Here's what I want you to do on the count of three. I want you to close your eyes on the count of three. You're all right, buddy. Relax. Close your eyes on the count of three. Ready? One. Close your eyes on the count of three. Close your eyes on the count of three. One, two, three. Close them. Now I'm going to tell you something. Just listen. You know why people end up destroying their lives? Because they walk in darkness. You know why the young people at your public school turn to drugs and alcohol? Because they walk in darkness. Now listen to me. The only answer for this world is that some of you decide to let your light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. You're the answer for this world. The Bible says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it underneath a bushel. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know why I pastor there in Newport Beach, the Spanish people? You know why? Because I want to let my light shine for Jesus Christ. You know why I decided to give my life for Jesus? Because I want people to see my light so that they can find the way to God. You know why I decided to be with you guys this week and leave behind a one-month-old baby, my kids? You know why? Because I believe with all my heart that there are teenagers here on the island that can say, by God's grace, I'm going to let my light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting how dark it is in this room? I want you to open your eyes now. Open your eyes. Do you see how bright this light is? Look. Think about this. Think about this. The room's very dark. But if you let your light shine, it'll be very obvious. If you let your light shine, you'll make an impact in the world for Jesus. This is the reason God set up churches all around the island. This is the reason why God sets up these lighthouses. You know why? Because people walk in darkness. And they need some light. Amen. Now I'll ask you a question. Will you let your light shine for Jesus? Every day they pass me by. Listen to the song. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pains, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cry, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? So now the lamp of God is out in the temple. How can somebody see Jesus if you don't turn your light on? How will somebody know the way to God unless you turn your light on? How will somebody know that if they die in their sins, they're going straight to hell? How will somebody know the love of God? But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. How will people know? For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How will people know this unless you turn your light on? That's exactly how people walk in this world, young people. This is what it's all about. This is exactly what being a Christian and answering the call of God is all about. It's about you shining your light for Jesus. All you got to do is turn it on. My question to you is, will you let your light shine? With every head bowed and every eye closed.